Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Church at Home. Thank you for inviting me into your home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, this is part two of How Old is the Earth? Now, we can't go out and just stick a measurement into the ground and say, well, it's so many years old. Some creationists say the Earth is only 6,000 years old. Evolutionists say it's billions of years old. Astronomers say that light travels at 186,000 miles per second. Now, they can also do this. Just picture this in your mind. Here's the sun. Here's the Earth orbiting around the sun. And all you flat earthers, just turn off because you don't believe the truth anyway. Over here at this side is the summer. And over here, directly 180 degrees opposite, is winter. You go to your astronomical telescope and you do a astronomical trigonometry measurement going to the North Star. And you get an azimuth between the North Star and where the telescope is at the observatory. And then you wait 6 months later, and you take another shot of the North Star 180 degrees away, and you get the azimuth and you get the angle. Guess what they can do with that? They can calculate almost exactly how far away the North Star is from the Earth based upon those two azimuths. And they can also verify then that it takes so many years for the light traveling at 186,000 miles per second to reach the Earth. So we know that there are billions of years involved. How does that fit into how old the Earth is? Now, we saw in the first segment that in the beginning God created the heavens, and then the angels, and then the earth. Now, the angels and the age of the earth, and understanding the geological sequence and paleontology of the earth, fits in quite well when we understand that sequence. Now, we saw in the last segment that the one who was the covering cherub, who is perfect in all of his ways and filled with beauty and wisdom, got lifted up in his vanity, and he rebelled against God. When he rebelled, we find here in Revelation, the 12th chapter, which is something that we need to consider and understand. Now, we're not told in Revelation 12 when this occurred. We are just given the event. So we don't know how many millions of years ago that took place or whatever, but we can also understand that it certainly wasn't just a few days out of 6,000 years ago. So let's pick it up here in verse 3, Revelation 12. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now, that's when the rebellion and war took place. So this tells us that the earth was here, and as we saw, God created the heavens, and then the angels, and then the earth. Now, let's put together some other scriptures, and let's build the evidence to show how old the earth may be. We can't tell you exactly a number of years, but we can understand from the things in the Bible the sequence of time. And then we'll ask the question, what happened? How did it occur? And then we come to finish off the rest of the story. What did God do with the earth then? Let's come back here to Isaiah 14, and let's see what it tells us concerning the morning star, or Satan the devil, which in the King James is translated Lucifer. which means light bringer. This is talking about the same thing that we find back in Revelation 12, Isaiah 14 and verse 12. How you are fallen from the heavens, O morning star, son of the morning, how you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations. Now it says there in Ezekiel 28 that he got lifted up with his beauty. What happened when he got lifted up with his beauty? Well, what he was doing was comparing his glory to the glory of God. And he said, my glory is just as good as God. I have a lot of power and authority. And he corralled a third of the angels and convinced him that he could remove God. So let's read it here. Verse 13, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. Ascend from where? Well, if they were cast back down to the earth, as it says in Revelation 12, they were on the earth. And God then, as we saw in the book of Job, the angels were created before the earth and they rejoiced when the earth was made. So God, and we'll see in just a little bit, gave the earth to them to rule over and to help prepare it for man. Verse 13, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. Now the stars of God means the angels. And also to take over the throne of God. I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. That compares with Ezekiel 28. That's where God's throne is. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. So there is the rebellion. They were cast down to the earth. Now, what happened when they were cast down to the earth? What occurred? What did God do? Remember, this was a great war that went on. You can read in the book of Daniel about the angel Michael and Gabriel. They were involved in the powers behind the scene with wars between the Persians and the Medes and the Babylonians and the Assyrians. So what happened to the earth? Did Lucifer and the angels develop weapons of great power? Well, let's stop and think for just a minute. What has Satan and the angels been able to inspire men to do in technology? Now, if you've never seen the special on the occult and the Third Reich, you need to watch it. Because a lot of these technologies have been revealed to men, not by God, but by Satan. Did he use these technologies before? Could be. We can't answer it dogmatically. But if we see a pattern over here in the Bible and we follow it through, then the pattern's going to carry through on the next instant, isn't it? So what happened to the earth? Well, Genesis 1 and verse 2 tells us. Because God created this to be inhabited by the angels, and the book of Jude tells us that the angels did not keep their first estate. And their first estate was this earth. They rebelled and ascended into heaven to take over the throne of God. And of course, they couldn't win against God, so they lost. They were cast down to the earth. And what happened to the earth because of the war? Let's read it here. Genesis, the first chapter. Let's review again, beginning in verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens. Then we know from other scriptures, then he created the angels. And then they were there to witness God laying the foundations of the earth. So when you read it, it it's not read this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No, it's meant to be read this way. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, because they were not created simultaneously. Could not have been. Let's analyze verse 2, because this becomes very important to understand. And the earth was without form and void. So by the time we get to verse 2, the earth is already here. The angels have already been cast down. There has already been the war in heaven. The one who is called Lucifer in the King James became Satan the devil, and the angels that rebelled and followed him became the demons. But what happened to the earth? Now, what happens when there's war? A lot of chaos and destruction, correct? Yes. So let's read it here. And the earth was without form and void. Now, what does without form and void mean? We have a marginal reference. You may have it in your Bible. And that comes from the Hebrew, haya, also could read became. How did the earth become without form and void? Because of the rebellion of Satan and the angels. So what happened then? And darkness was upon the face of the deep. The earth was completely engulfed in water because of the war and having to extinguish all the causes and the effects of that war. Now, how old was the earth by that time? We're not told. But what does this also tell us? If there's water covering the earth, what is that? That's a worldwide flood. Now, in geology and paleontology, they know there were two floods. There were two great dyings. And it was a catastrophe that hit the earth that extinguished all at once all the dinosaurs. And everyone has wondered, why did God create the dinosaurs? And you look at the dinosaurs and you think, my, those are some of the strangest looking creatures of all, aren't they? Well, let's go ahead and just do a bit of surmising, which is this. Were those the animals that God created for Lucifer and the angels when they inhabited the earth? Could be. Did God originally create them that way? Or could there be, like is happening today, genetic modification to those animals? Now, if there was genetic modification to those animals, that would explain why they're such grotesque and terrible-looking creatures. Because God didn't originally create them that way. Now, we have to put that in the realm of supposition. But we know there were dinosaurs. And we know that they've got all kinds of fossilized dinosaur bones. And there's one very unusual feature about all of them. They were all killed at once. How do we know? Because everywhere in the world where they find dinosaur bones, they find them in a particular strata, which is called the Morrison strata. So they dig up these bones. Now let's look at another feature in geology and paleontology that is rather deceptive in coming to a conclusion of how old the dinosaurs were and how old the bones were, and what happened. All right, they were all extinguished, probably because of the war that went on, without a doubt. And then God covered the whole earth with water. All right, then we'll see. God recreated it for man. But let's answer the question. Let's look at it and let's see how that we know that the earth is far older than 6,000 years. Maybe not quite as old as the billions and billions and billions of years that the geologists and paleontologists and evolutionists like to tell us, because they can't really figure out the exact age. So their figures may not really be true, but it gives us a realm of age. Now, here's another thing that takes place. Let's ask the question, which came first, the soil on the earth or the bones that you find in them? Well, obviously, the soil on the earth had to come first, because you find the bones in the soil. And they were all destroyed with a great catastrophe. That we can determine just by looking at the evidence. So this helps us to understand that God created the heavens, then he created the angels, then he created the earth, then there was rebellion by Lucifer and a third of the angels, and they were cast back down to the earth with the war, and then God flooded the earth, as we find here in Genesis 1:2. Now, let's look at something else that takes place when all of these dinosaurs were killed, buried in the strata, flood covered the earth. Now, here we are today, and we come along, we say, oh, look at those bones. It's a dinosaur. It's a Tyrannosaurus rex. Look at all of this. So they carefully dig it out, and then they measure the age of it. And they pronounce, well, this is billions of years old. Now, it may or may not be billions of years old. But what happens when bones are buried? A chemical transaction takes place between the soil and the bones. The minerals in the soil begin to replace the minerals in the bones. So if they measure the bones, that doesn't tell you exactly how old they were, because the minerals from the soil are far older than the bones. So that's where all the scientists fall short, and they can't answer it. There is no answer, because God doesn't tell us specifically in terms of years when these events took place. Now, there could be hundreds of millions of years. We don't know. But God is eternal, and in order for us to see light coming from these stars way out in the universe, that had to be created first, so that we on the earth can now look out there and see the light billions and billions of miles away. So likewise, in analyzing these bones, they know they're very old, but what they're measuring is the earth that has been, how should we say, transferred into the bones, much like the process of osmosis, taking the minerals from the earth that migrate into the bones. So the bones appear to be older than they actually are, because the earth had to be here before the bones were buried in it, right? Yes. So this tells us without form and void. Now let's look at another scripture here that's very important concerning war. This answers what the Greek is, tohu and bohu, vain and without form, or in chaos and confusion. And God made nothing in chaos and confusion, did he? So it had to come that way because of the sins of the angels and the war that took place. Now let's come here to Jeremiah, the 4th chapter, and we will see that it talks about war and without form and void, tohu and bohu. Jeremiah 4 in verse 20. Destruction upon destruction is cried. That's because of war. Verse 19 says, the alarm of war, for the whole land is laid waste. Suddenly my tents are laid waste, my curtains in a moment. How long shall I see the banner of war and hear the sound of a ram's horn? Let's see what war results in. Let's see what Jeremiah saw. Let's see how he explained it. Verse 23, I looked on the earth, and lo, it was without form and void because of war. That's how in Genesis 1:2, the earth became without form and void, or in chaos and confusion because of the war between Lucifer and the demons and the angels of God and God. And the heavens, they had no light. Isn't that interesting? Very similar, of course, on a smaller scale than Genesis 1:2. Now let's see what God did back here in Genesis, the first chapter, and this will help us to understand. Now, a lot of people say, well, there's no such thing as a gap theory in the Bible. Well, how do you explain then the scriptures that we just covered, if that is not so? Let's read it here. And the earth became without form and void, because of war, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, a worldwide flood, the first flood. There's a second flood of Noah. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. That's when God began to renew the surface of the earth for man. So the renewal and recreation of the surface of the earth for mankind is what we find in 7 days in Genesis, the first chapter. God was preparing it for man. Now then, that may very well have been some 6,000 years ago, more or less. But it doesn't really tell us the age of the earth. We do not know. We can understand from other measurements the approximate age and some of the expanse of the universe, but all of those are still great mysteries to us because the mathematics of it are so fantastic and so well beyond the capacity of man to fully understand that all we can do is get a glimmer of it. So when we examine the Bible, we're not told exactly how old the earth is, but it is a whole lot older than we have figured. It is a whole lot older than those who believe in 6,000-year creation. See, and they even said, well, we know it's only 6,000 years because there is a steady decay of the magnetic forces of the earth. But, oh, it was regenerated on several occasions. So that theory is no good. There's another one which says, oh, we find men's footprints with dinosaur footprints. Well, those dinosaur footprints are no different than giant emus or ostriches. Only one example of that does not prove that dinosaurs and men lived together. Now, those are some of the questions that we can set aside. Now, once we understand this, then we can concentrate on what is God doing with mankind today? Why did he create mankind in his image and in his likeness? That's what we need to focus on. All of this is interesting material, but it can disprove evolution. It can disprove the foolishness of only a 6,000-year-old universe and earth. So I hope these things have been helpful to you. Once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And next time we get together, be sure and have your Bible out and follow along with the scriptures so you can prove it and check it and examine it in your Bible for yourself. Remember to go to our other website, cbcg.org, for in-depth sermon instruction on the love of God, the faith of God, the hope of God, strength in times of trouble, how to overcome, Very many detailed Bible studies there for you. So until next time, this is Fred Colder saying, thank you for inviting me into your home, and so long, everyone.